Well, good evening, everyone. I'm very excited to be here tonight with you. I feared this moment and was nervous leading up to this because Sunday night, I was coming back home here to school, and I noticed my voice was not much of that, and I was losing it. And Monday, it was much worse. I talked to Ray Monday afternoon. It really wasn't much there. I couldn't speak well, and so I was really nervous. I knew I had to speak tonight, and I really wanted to. And so Tuesday came around, and it didn't get much better at all, and I sounded awful. And so I just had to start looking at my options. Caleb Sams said that he would step in and speak, and I would speak next week was an option. Josh Houston said he would speak in my place. And so we were looking at these options, and this morning I woke up and my voice sounded a little bit better. But if my voice cracks a lot, and it will tonight, you're free to laugh out loud if you want. It won't hurt my feelings too much. So tonight, though, I'm very thankful to be here and speak with you and share some of God's word as we talk about the light of the world in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. I've really enjoyed this series for the lessons I've been here to see. And as I do so, I'm looking around, and the congregation I preach at now, it's about the size of this front row over here. And so standing up here looking out, it's much different than sitting there looking up. And I'd much rather be in your place right now. But I'm very excited that I get to share this with you. And this series has been fun because it is more than just a name. Every speaker has been up here sharing what these names mean to them. That's what they've been doing, is talking about what it means to them and how they take this name and make a lesson from it. And so I'm excited to be able to do that tonight and take this name and make it more than that as we look at the light of the world. When we examine these I am statements, it really reveals a lot of God's nature and who God is. And we see truly more than just a name there. And as we look at this statement in itself, just these four words, we can see that there's some that stick out. One that sticks out to me the most is the word of, believe it or not. The word of there in light of the world sticks out to me because really we know that Christ is not in the world. We know that he came to the world in human flesh and then died and left this world to go up to heaven with his Father. He's looking at us now. And we know that God's not above the world because he's not sitting up there on his throne like many believe, waiting for us to mess up and smack us with a biting hand. He's not sitting up there waiting for us and looking down. He is of the world. You know, as humans, we're told, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be of the world. Don't give into these things the world has to offer. But we're human, and God is God, and God is of this world. He's literally the light of this world. But the word of is not what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to talk about a different word tonight instead, and that's the word light, as we look at this and examine what light really means. If you'll look with me in John chapter 8, verse 12, or follow along on the screen, it says, then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Tonight, I want to really focus on what this word light means and what it is and what it can do in our lives. I want to really do that, and to do so, I want to look at the book of 1 John, starting in chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And the real reason I picked this passage to look at is for different reasons. Some quick backgrounds: that 1 John was a book that was written to Christians, for believers, encouraging them to keep doing so. The book of 1 John was written, much like the book of James, telling people to follow what they've been doing, keep believing what you're believing, never give up, and keep aiming, keep your focus on God. And so John is writing this letter to them, telling them to not give up and to keep going. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10, Joshua read it for us, and I want to do it one more time. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. So basically, if we claim to not have any sin in our lives, if we claim to not struggle with something in our lives right now, we're calling God a liar. We're calling God someone who doesn't know what he's talking about. God's telling us, and John's telling us in this passage, that we all sin and fall short of the glory every day. And so I want to really focus on this light, but also this light versus darkness. This darkness in our life is characterized by the sin that we have. Again, in John 8, chapter 12, it says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In verse 7 of 1 John, it said, walk in the light. And then there in this verse, in chapter 8, verse 12, it says, do not walk in darkness. And so they're both describing us walking. They're describing our relationship with God as a walk with God. And so we're to walk in a certain way. We're to walk in this light. God is light. We need the light just as much as we need God. The famous Plato once said, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. Instead of trusting in God, many thinkers today will trust in themselves. They say, I know the answers to this. I know exactly what to do here. I don't need God. Or I know what God's trying to say here. I know what the New Testament writer is trying to say here. And so I don't need to rely on this. He's telling us here to stray from that. This darkness in our lives can overcome us and actually blind us from being able to see. Obviously, this is not a physical sight, but a spiritual sight. So the question I want us to think about as we continue through our lesson is, can you see where you're going? Is your life such, has so much darkness in it that you can't see? Or are you on the right path toward Christ? As we do so, I want to look at something that a lot of you psychology majors probably know of. And it's actually a disorder called SAD. Seasonal affective disorder. It's actually a disorder in our lives that's caused by lack of light. This thing called serotonin, that's not produced when you have this lack of light, which does produce melatonin, which makes you sleepy and increases its depressive state. So this SAD disease causes people to be sad. It causes people to have lack of life in their light. And so how do you cure that? The way people go about this is a light therapy. They expose people to the light. John talks about this light therapy we have as well in his gospel, that we need to be exposed to this light. The reason he knows this is because in John 1, 6 through 9, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, and that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So John's informing us of the man named John of the Baptist who is coming before God, because he is not the light, but he's going to show the light. John has insight into this knowledge. He's sharing this with Christians. And then he goes on to say in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. So in the beginning was the light, and the light was God, and the light was with God. And so as we talk about this walk in our Christian life, I want to look at how we should walk together as Christians in this light and just examine that in our main passage again in 1 John 1, 5 through 10. But first, we need to walk in the light, looking at verses 5 through 7. This letter was written to Christians in a world where darkness was a big fear. At this time, people would work sun up to sundown and come home, and they wouldn't have these lamps. They wouldn't have cell phones with flashlights. They wouldn't have flashlights, candles. They didn't have these kind of things. So darkness was a big fear to them. They feared what was going to happen to them in the night. You know, an illustration that sets this up is a long time ago, our country went through an energy shortage. And while doing so, they were thinking of ways to fix that and to save a little money and save a little energy. And so the government decided around 1 o'clock at night, we're going to shut all the lights off, like street lights and lights outside of buildings, to save this energy. And around 5 o'clock, we'll turn them back on. And they started noticing when they turned these off that crime would start to happen, and that more and more crime developed over time because it was so dark. And so the way they fixed that was by adding the light back, and they realized the crime stopped, because in the dark, you can't see what's happening. In the dark is when this danger happens. In the dark is when we have this sin that happens in front of us. I want to relate this passage to another passage real quick, if you would. In Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. In the book of 1 John, we see how John's talking about this light and this dark. But I want to look at what the Apostle Paul has to say now about the exact same thing. He says the light of the world exactly the same as John does. Two apostles, not at the same time, talking about the same thing in the same manner. And I want to look at that real quick. Paul's writing the people of Ephesus, urging them not to go back to how they used to live. We know this because if you look two verses back in 6 and 7, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Looking now at Ephesians 5, 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It doesn't say you were once in the darkness. It literally says you were once darkness. Before we chose to follow Christ, before we put on Christ in baptism, before we came here to this building tonight, we were darkness. We were sin. He says, you were this darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We were darkness before the light saved us. If you look in Ephesians chapter 5, a couple verses back in verse 1, it says, be imitators of God, therefore dearly loved children. This only makes sense. Be imitators of God. When we worship God, we should be striving to be him. If we look back in the Exodus, we see how they would worship idols when God would leave them, or they thought God left them. They'd worship these idols, and they thought that this would make them happy. But they weren't striving to be those idols, and the reason is because that wasn't true worship. God called us to true worship, and we're supposed to be aiming to be him. And so we're supposed to be imitators of God, trying our best to be him. If we keep looking at verses 9 and 10. Sorry about that. I pushed the pause button. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So one of the quickest ways to know if a person is striving to do what the Lord wants is if he's really looking at what God says and really is trying his best to do that. When we look at people in our lives, whether it's a dating relationship, a friendship, an acquaintance, anything we do, this is how we should leave a standard for that. When our friends are striving to do what God wants, or at least thinking about what God wants, or motivated by God's word, these are the kind of people we want to be surrounded by. These are the kind of people we want to be friends with, the kind of people we want to have a relationship with. Finding out what is acceptable to God. Well, people might ask, what is acceptable to God? Well, we're all aware of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. These things might be that. This love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These nine aspects that he's talking about here are things that could be this light. The things that we look for in our friends, the things we look for in ourselves, the thing God wants. In verse 11 and 12 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done in secret. It doesn't say have less fruit. It doesn't say stay away from most of it. It says have no fellowship with the unfruitful deeds. Have no fellowship with it. When we start letting a little bit of darkness into our life and try hiding our sin, it doesn't help anything. When we try hiding ourselves from the sin that we do every day, this doesn't help anything in our lives. How do we expose this? It says rather expose. The way we expose is by the way we live. The way we live every day, the way we act, the things we put on the internet, the things we say to people, this is how we expose those things by the way we live in our life today. It's like saying I'm going to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and I'm going to confess those things or worship in the right manner, and then Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to act however I want because Sunday and Wednesday are coming. This isn't the right attitude to have when we look at Christ. In 13 and 14 it says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Basically, we have to be lights for God and shine for him. We have to shine as hard as we possibly can in Christ's way. But getting back to the topic at hand, in 1 John 1, 5 through 7, this is the message which I have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. This leads us to our next point this afternoon, and that's to walk with one another. This is an illustration I like to say here is when we have kids that play hide and seek, or if you can think back to when you would play the game of hide and seek, a lot of times you might start off by yourself, but 10, 20, 30 minutes into the game, you'll find yourselves kind of coming together and meeting up with people and hiding together. The reason for this is because no one likes being in the dark by themselves. You know, for a little bit, you can handle it, but after an amount of time, you don't like being by yourself, and you like being with someone. I like to look at that here is if we're with someone throughout our journey, we can exit out of that darkness. As it says in verse 7 here, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. As we look in the New Testament, it's rare to see anyone living on their own. It's rare to see anyone worshiping on their own. But in the church today, we see this a lot of times. Maybe not literally on their own, but they'll come and sit in the pews, and they'll be by themselves. They'll sit in the pews, and they will be alone not physically, but spiritually. They have no one with them walking along the journey. Half may be their fault, but half may not. I know of a story of a man who went to a church for 6 years, and before he left, he told them that the amount of people that spoke to him were two people. And that whole 6 years he went there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, two people talked to him in that 6 years. I can't find this to be true or good in any manner that we're to walk alone in this life. He told us multiple times, there's so many things in our life that happen that we can't do it alone. Jesus Christ himself is the only person we really see alone ever. And that's when he would go pray. But yet there were still 12 men who followed him around all the time. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 44, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had everything in common. Can you imagine a place where all the believers were together and had everything in common? It doesn't say some believers were together and had some things in common, or some believers were together and had all things in common, or all believers were together and had some things in common, but that all believers were together and had everything in common. Can you imagine a time in our life where we can sit in the building and worship together and have every single thing in common? This is what he's saying, that we're to walk together in that. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship have light and darkness? Light and darkness have no fellowship at all with each other. And we know that because when you try to mix things that don't go together, it's a terrible mistake. You can go to Sonic and get a drink, and there's some flavors I've found out that don't go good together. There's some flavors that just don't taste good. They put a terrible look on your face and a terrible taste in your mouth. You know, there's some things you can mix together, like Red Bull and milk. That's something you don't mix together. You can do that if you want, but it's not going to end good. There's things in our lives you don't mix together. Light and dark's one of those things. You don't mix light and darkness together and expect a good outcome from that. In John 3, 19 through 21, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because of their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may clearly be seen that they have been done in God. This leads us to our next point tonight, is that when we're in the darkness, we literally hate the light. If we're going through our daily lives in sin, and we're not correcting that sin, if we're not trying to correct that sin, we're literally saying that we hate the light. If we're going against what God says and claim to say we do what God says, that's saying we hate the light and that we basically hate God. That's a scary thing to say. But that leads us to our next point, that we're to walk in forgiveness. You know, God gives us that way out. We are to give other people that way out. If you look there in verses 8 through 10, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar and his word is not in us. Refusing that we have sinned is calling God a liar. God gives us this way. We have to first admit that we have the sin. We have to confess our sins in front of him, in front of people that we walk together with. But not only asking for forgiveness, but forgiving other people. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, it says, you're the light that gives light to the world. A city that is built on a hill cannot be hidden. And people don't hide a light under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand, so the light shines for all people in the house. In the same way, you should be a light for all people. Live so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. An example of this, when we don't forgive others, is if you were to give someone a task of sitting in a room with no windows, and you were to dump stuff everywhere on the floor, and then turn the lights off and tell them to find a certain object, they're not going to be able to do it. They can't see what's there. They are aware that there's toys and objects in the room, but they can't find it because of the darkness. When we're going through our lives, we can't be mad at these people for not seeing it. Some people literally are in such darkness, they cannot see the sin in their life. They're so consumed with that sin, they can't see it. And when they do things to us, they don't even realize it. And we have to forgive them for that. The question I have for you, though, is can you see where you're going? Can we see where we're going in this life? Light is so much more powerful than darkness, if you think about it. In my dorm room, when I sleep, I like two things when I sleep, completely cold and dark. I like to have it on double snowflake, and I like to have it completely pitch black, or I can't sleep well. I have a blanket over the side of my bed and a piece of cardboard on the back. So when I get in bed, it's completely blacked off, and you can't see anything at all. But a lot of times, if someone leaves the bathroom door open, or if someone turns a light on, or someone's on their cell phone, a little crack in my blanket, the light will shine through. That little bit of light will shine through in that crack. That explains to me that light has such power over darkness that even the little bit of light exposed to that darkness makes a big deal. When we think about our lives, we have to be that light to people and expose a little bit of light in them. To an extent, some of your darkness may be found in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. We talk about the fruits of the Spirit in verse 22, but we fail to look at the two verses before that sometimes. If you look at Galatians 5, 19 to 22, it says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and such things like these." I go on to say that if you practice such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It gives a list. It says if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. This, to an extent, may be your darkness tonight. Some of these things on this list you may deal with. You may know someone who deals with these things on this list. You will not inherit the kingdom of God, it says. But then in 22 it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Do we call sin for what it is? Or do we try to justify our sin by saying, well, this person does it, so it's okay if I do it? Do we justify the way we live based off other people or based off God? Can you see where you're going? Or do you even know where you're going? Do you even know where you're supposed to be walking? I told you I want to talk about what light is and what it does. And so I want to talk about a minute just what this light really is with this acronym that I found that I really enjoy a lot. The first one is it provides life. God literally is the creator. God provided this life for us. The light is ultimately God, but he provides life for all people. The next one inspires us. God should inspire us. The scripture should inspire us. Our walk with each other should inspire us. That's what this light does, is it inspires us to do things better than we can do in this life. The next one, it's a guide. Throughout the entire Old Testament, we've seen God as a guide in scripture. He guided the people in Exodus out of the wilderness with a fiery cloud. In Psalm 119, 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Again, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He leads us and guides us through everything. Next is that he's a symbol of hope. In Psalm 27, 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid?" What should I fear in this life? What human has something over me because God is with me? God, as we call ourselves Christians, we have something other people don't. We have God in our lives. In Revelation 22, 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You know, when we're little, we're sometimes scared of the dark. Or even now in college, you may be still scared of the dark. There's something that we're given to help us with that. It's called a nightlight. We're provided with this nightlight to give us that light in the dark, so that way we're not scared. We're called to be these nightlights for people. And then the last part there is it represents the truth. An example of this is you may be at your house late one night by yourself or even with somebody, and you may hear a noise outside. You might ignore it the first time. You might hear another noise, then another noise. So you start to get a little frightened. So what you do is you walk over and turn the light on and look out the window. And whatever it is usually exposed because the light there exposed it to your eyes. And then again, you may be on the interstate, and you may be going 80 miles an hour, and all of a sudden you see blue lights behind you. It's exposing the truth that you've been speeding, and now you're being pulled over. The light exposes these things and represents the truth in our life. The verse I want to end with, or the two verses I want to end with, we've already read. One's in John 8:12. "Then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life. Rather, we are to expose them," in Ephesians 5:11, "and have no fellowship with unfruitful works or of darkness, but rather expose them." The question this evening that I've asked twice already, I'm going to ask again, is can you see where you're going in your spiritual life? Is there something in your life blocking you from that or stopping you from being with God? Is there an obstacle in your way? Or are you just blinded by the sin in your life? If so, God's given us a great blessing tonight. He's given us the opportunity to come forward and share those things, to repent of our way, and even put on baptism with him if we have to. God's asking us to come forward and be that light of the world. If we can help you in any way, I ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing.